Well, I didn't die, so I've gone another year alive, and I'm so glad to be back. I was going to review. Where's that little girl that messed me up? Where'd she go? Yeah, you messed me up. Not really. The last time I did this, I pulled this up and almost knocked myself unconscious. I hit this under my chin. I was going, so I'm going to do it. I made it. I want you to know I am a loser. So is Loretta. We're both losers. And you go like this when you're a loser. But if you want to cheat, you just put up another L, go like this. And it makes you a winner, see? But you're all winners for sure. I love coming down to North Carolina. It seems like I end up here more than anywhere I go. It's hilarious. Just hilarious. I love your state. You know I'm a Yankee, probably you caught on the way I talk. We carry machine guns and machetes, and we talk like, hey, you guys, come on, follow me, you know. We talk like hoods, and I teach speech at Hiles Anderson College. That's just so funny. Okay, you guys, come on, let's move it. Let's move it. Yeah, you know. And they'll say, are you from Chicago? Or you don't say it, you say Chicago. Chicago. Don't we sound funny? And you all sound so nice. If you're not, don't tell me, because I think you're very nice, you know. I told my husband, I said, I know, I say this every time I come down here, I said, I know I'm a Yankee, but I have a Southern heart, because you're all so nice, I want to be just like you. And I love the way you say my name, J-O-J-O, Jojo. You go, it's 21 syllables, Jojo. That's how they say Jojo. I love it, I love it. But, and the Hershey bar, that's the winning. Because I look so pathetic, they brought me one, because I was, you know, this is my favorite candy in the whole wide world. It really is. I stole this when I was 5 years old. I really did. It was my first thievery, and I don't know if I've had many more since then, because I learned from it. I went to A&P Food Store with my mom, and I saw this, and I thought it was so good. So on my way to kindergarten, I decided to make a stop. And I went and took it, and I ate it all the way to school. And when I got home that day, my dad said, Jojo, what did you have at school today? I said, oh, we had, you know, it was kind of like, looked like dirty water they'd give you to drink and said it was Kool-Aid, you know, with no sugar. And then they'd give us little crackers. And I said, I had crackers and Kool-Aid. He said, that's all you had? And I said, yes, sir. That was it. I guess I had chocolate all around me. He said, you didn't have anything else? I said, no, sir, nothing else. Are you sure? I said, yep, that's all. He went and got a mirror and put it in front of me. And you know how guilt, I didn't mean to steal it. You know how stupid I confessed right away. And to make a very long story short, my dad took me back to A&P Food Store to meet the manager. He called the Whiting police, had him come to investigate my theft. And I had to go show him where, and I mean, I was sobbing. I still remember. You know, you ever cried so hard you can't breathe? You know, you get. You know, and to this day, it's still my favorite candy bar. I'm sorry. The police had me sweep the front of the store. I had everything but a sign. You know, I'm a criminal. I stole a Hershey bar. But I'm talking a little bit different today about the power of words. The power of words, and that's what the soap's for, to do some cleaning, to help us. My dad used to say, if you ever said a bad word, he would take soap, and literally, and it was Fels naphtha soap. I remember it very well. If you were gonna choose a soap to chew, maybe Tropical Escape by Dial or something like this, but I would not choose Fels naphtha soap. It has a horrible taste. I am a witness to that, I promise you. And he would say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so I decided I'd never talk again. A minute later, then I talked again. But my dad was just someone who used to have the power of words. He used to say, be careful with your words, be careful with your words. Well, since that time, when I was 18 years old, I first heard the gospel. I was raised Roman Catholic for 19 years of my life. Heard the gospel, made a profession of faith in February of 1965, but I know I didn't mean it. I just went through the motions. And 1 year later, hearing my preacher, Brother Hiles, preach hard on salvation and knowing for sure you're going to heaven, I made sure on February the 9th, 1966, then I know beyond a shadow of doubt that when I die, if I die today, I would go to heaven. How about you? Don't think, no, not what Mama told you, but no. I went through it twice because I wasn't sure. I got baptized twice. First time I got wet, second time I got baptized. But I'm excited. But anyway, I'm so glad to be with you. I love you ladies very much. If you don't mind, I'm going to take this off. I hope I'm okay. This is all I'm taking off. But I'm not. I don't usually wear a t-shirt, just not t-shirts on top. I got to wear Kohl's as a gift. But whenever I wear this jacket, it doesn't breathe or something. And when I started throwing snowballs, the breathing totally stopped. And so Loretta's trying to fan me. I said, we're going to get in trouble. Or we just got here. The two of us together is not good, but it is. But we're so similar, it's scary. It is really, we think the same, we move the same. She moves better because she has two knees. Mine are dead. I think last year they were gone. I went to a surgeon just 2 weeks ago, and they said, I need total knee replacement. And they said, it's one of the most serious they've ever seen. The knee's now giving out when I walk, especially my left knee. I said to my little grandson, I said, my knees are gone. He goes, oh, no, not. I can see they're right there. I promise, they're right there. They're not gone. And I have so many quirky things. Like, I made it to North, whenever I come to North Carolina, I have fluky things every time. I mean, unreal things happen to me here. End up in emergency rooms, hospitals. It's been calm. I walk out of the bathroom, Loretta says, what's, and it's been calm this whole trip. It's been so refreshing. I feel almost like a real person. And I went to the bathroom, and I had this big white glump right here. And Loretta said, what's all over your skirt? And I said, oh, no, snow. So be careful when you go into the snow room that you don't lean against it. If you do, giving a public testimony, water takes it right off. So that's why I was late coming in right now. I was washing off my skirt, trying to get all the snow off of it. Thank goodness for Loretta. She helped my life, definitely. But anyway, I started thinking about my knees. I saw a surgeon 2 weeks ago. And I told him something, and I'm not a negative person. I have negative things happen, which I'm talking about the newest thing that's happened to us, the newest. There's always new things that happen in our home. But something new that just happened just in the last few weeks. But things happen to me, crazy things happen. Do they happen to you? I mean, or you just don't tell it. Yeah, and I do, right? But when I was thinking about, well, I'll just go into it. Let me pray, and I'm just going to go right into it because of time. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today and these precious ladies. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor and Mrs. Ennis, and Wendy's been such a help to us, but the preacher and his wife are key cogs in this machinery. We thank you for their sweet spirits and their the beauty of the Lord through their lives, and just a handsome couple, a beautiful couple. Lord, bless their lives. Give them many more years of fruitful service, and Wendy, bless her for all the things she's done, and the ladies of this church making us so comfortable, and the people, Janet, picking me up. But Janet, was it Janet, Wendy? Who? Janet. Lord, you knew who it was, but I did say Janet. And for picking me up at the airport, and Royce, and picking me up at the airport and taking such good care of us. But I thank you, Lord, for them. Please bless the ladies that are here right now. Open our heads and open our hearts, I beg you, Lord, please. For these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do a review, so it'll make me hotter, because I need to get warmed up. Do any of you sweat? You don't sweat? Ooh. I do not. Miss Linda from our college said she glistens. We had Spirit Week all week at the college. I was dripping. I mean, just dripping. You know, I should be checking into a rest home. Instead, I'm leading cheers out on the floor of college. You know, I said, a little limpy, but I'm still doing it. But anyway, get excited. And the reason I'm sharing about the knees is that the idea that it doesn't change my spirit. The doctor told me, he said, you definitely need both knees replaced. And I said, I can't explain to you. I'm not being negative. Negative things happen. I said, but I have horrible complications in surgery. I mean, horrible. I said, this will give you an idea. I have had a dream at least 14 times that while they're doing my knee surgery, I told you about this, Loretta, the doctor walks in, he's an anesthesiologist. It's so real to me. Do you all dream? I dream in color. You know, they talk languages. I don't know what they're saying. And that's probably I had pizza the night before, but I have these funny dreams. And this doctor has a mask on one ear. The mask is down. He has a little goatee. And he just looks at me like this is it. And then I go to sleep and I die in the surgery when they're doing my knee. I've had the same dream over and over again. But the worst part of it is, I'm not dead, but they think I'm dead. And they put me in the casket. And as they put me in the casket, and they're closing the casket, I can't talk. And it's my husband, like this.
I'm not joking, like he's...
And I go, and you're not... I can't do a ventriloquist and nothing. And I'm not dead. And I told the doctor, I've had this dream probably 14 times. And he said, I don't think we need to do this surgery. And I said, well, why? And he said, why? My husband's right there like, oh, why did she tell him this, you know? And he said, I've only lost two patients. Both were dreams. One was the daughter. This just happened just a few weeks ago. Dr. Toma is his name, if you want to check it out. He's an orthopedic knee surgeon. And this one lady, her daughter, he called her. She died on the table, had no complications. She had no heart problems. I have an aorta encased in plaque. I have a very, very serious kidney disease. I have a bleeding disorder, which is the main complication of death. I've had blood clots. Other than that, I'm in really good shape. And so I'm what they call high risk, if you know what I'm saying. I go in with a wonderful spirit, but I have horrible complications. And so the doctor, I was telling him about this, and I said, he said, the lady who died had no heart problems. Her heart literally just stopped, a massive heart attack. And it wasn't her that had the dream. He called the daughter in Kansas City. I was just telling you this morning, Loretta, in Kansas City, and he said, hello, this is Dr. Toma. And she said, my mother died, didn't she? Just like that. And he said, I have not even spoken to you yet. And she said, I had a dream that my mother died. And she died on the table. The second lady had a dream. She had died in surgery. And 2 days after the knee surgery, she had a blood clot that went to the heart and killed her. He said, let's just wait on your surgery. So if I'm limping around, there's a reason. I said, I do well until about 2 o'clock, and then the pain takes a toll on me. And to where, you know, people say, what do you take? I said, cocaine. No, I don't. Loretta, you saw what I took this morning. I take one Excedrin generic from Walmart. You get two bottles, 200 of them for $4. It's my deal. And then the other one I take, not the whole bottle I don't take, but I'm tempted sometimes. And then I take an hour later, 2 ibuprofen, and that's all I have of just survival. My knee's very little, but by the time I get done today, it'll be like this, where I can't bend it. But I always feel like I'm gonna keep on keeping on until I can't keep on. And it means when God decides to shut the box, hopefully I'm dead. I tell the college kids, because I love them so much, I said, when I die, please walk by and pinch me. Make sure you see any sign. Don't let them shut that box. So that's a little bit the newest thing going on in my life with me personally, but then I have something I want to share, something I want to do for somebody very special. And I've never done anything like this, but I want to share something as I talk about words. Let's do a warm-up, and I'm going to have to hurry up. It takes so much time just to warm up. Let's just do a warm-up. Oh, dude, get excited, get excited, get excited. Woo, get excited. Oh, get excited about the conference. I haven't had one of you that didn't act excited today. And I think you're marveled to see we're still alive, or I'm still alive. One lady went, oh, you're here. I said, yes, ma'am. I didn't crash. You know, many times I've had emergencies. My plane's been struck by lightning. Once the motor thing, when those props went out, that could have been serious. And different things like that could be. Once there was a fire in the restroom. Other than that, there's nothing, but now they don't smoke. So other than that, it's been a very calm. My takeoffs are usually okay. Landing is when it all happens. The wheels don't come down. They foam the runway. It's exciting. It is so exciting. But as you notice, I haven't died yet, so this is exciting. Okay, let's do get excited. Ready? Put your hands up and fool yourself if you're not, and you will be the time to get done. Ready? Get excited. Get excited. Get excited. Woo! Get excited. Woo! Get excited. Get excited. Get excited. Woo! Get excited. Woo! I'm excited to be here. I really am. I don't know if you can tell. I just put down some verses. Watch your mouth, or wash your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. The power of words. It's not something I speak on often, but I have to constantly work on my own life, don't you? Everything you say when you open your mouth, you can't take those words back. And we say things so ugly, like someone has on, Loretta, you look adorable. But you look and you say, do you like green? I think of trees, things like this, ferns, when I see you. You know, are you kidding me? She looks gorgeous. Or you say, I thought you weren't coming. Well, thank you. You know, the power of words, the power of words, they're powerful. My words, I want them, I may never be back again. Usually 2 years is all they can handle us, and they bring new people in. You'll see why. And we're grateful we've been here 2 years. But and I just jotted down, and now I have, look at him dripping. Isn't this precious?
all the impurities of my body are leaving at this very moment. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth the blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We can be a blessing or a cursing. And I want to be a blessing, don't you? I mean, it's really powerful. No one wants to bring me that Kleenex. My husband just dies. He said, no, okay, Loretta. You're so nice. You're so nice, Loretta. You really are. Just for that, I'll share my Hershey bar, one little teeny piece. Words are a means of expression. What did you express today? This is a verse of scripture I use in our speech class at Howells Anderson College. I love it. Proverbs 8, verses 6 through 8. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. This is scriptural. If we could just go to the Bible and try to live, eat little bitty steps, take little bitty verses per day, a verse. Don't leave your room until you've read and prayed. Don't leave your room until you're ready and pray. I am a crook to come here without going there first this morning. And I did. I was in Philippians 4, 3 and 4. I was in big this morning. And I love my Bible. This particular Bible is a Jerusalem Bible. We were there 2 years ago in December. And it was a trip we won from our church. And I love this. It's a soft Bible. And I sleep with it. I really do. I go to sleep like this, and it's usually right next to me when I wake up. I open this up, as I did this morning, and just go in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I said rejoice. You know, rejoice again, rejoice again, rejoice again, rejoice again, rejoice. It's not rejoice. Yes, my husband has cancer, because he does. But 2 weeks ago, he was put for the first time 5 years in remission. And now he gets 1 year to go to the doctor. It's been every 3 months. That's to rejoice again. But we've been rejoice again through all this. We have not quit. We have not stopped. I have not stopped one time. I may have been put on the sidelines to recoup from something, but keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. People said, do you ever fake it? I said, yes. When I don't feel good, I fake it. I fake it till I make it. That's my slogan, fake it till you make it. So you feel sick, keep on keeping on. Watch when you get sick. You're getting ready to go on visitation. You're getting ready to go to church. When you're getting ready to go help a neighbor, watch. All of a sudden, you don't feel so good. When you're ready to give the gospel, watch how the devil, I mean it, he'll bring people in, kids start screaming, the phones start ringing. Oh, I got to go right now. No, you don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy no matter what. Don't lose your joy. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, Philippians 4, 5, 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. I mean, the teaching's here. Listen to this one. And the peace of God, read it and say it slow, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. I don't know about you, but I've gone through the change of life a couple times. And it was very similar to menstruation time. You became a cycle. The day before my period, there are no men here, are there? There are no men. Period, at the end of the sentence. Period. And when that would happen, the day before, and I'm a pretty steady person. I mean, pretty upbeat. I am. I have down times. But the day before, I'd get like this. One day, we saw a cat or a dog walking along the side of the street. My husband's driving. Poor husbands. They can't figure us out. We can't figure ourselves out, so how can they figure us out? A dog is limping. I'll say it's a dog. And I went, stop. Stop. He goes, what's wrong, Joe? Are you sick? No, no, stop. This is the day before. He goes, what's wrong? I said, that animal. He said, what animal? I said, the animal limping. Who's caring for it right now? Its mother's probably looking for it right now. And what can we do? He goes, you got to go to church. We ended up one time taking the dog with us. Make it a bus promotion. Yeah. Big day on the bus, you know, Noah's Ark, here's a dog. There's a lot of things you can do with stuff like this. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. What we hear, let's try putting this stuff in practice. And the God of peace shall be with you. You can go on and on. And I don't know about you, but this is mind cleansing. Read your Bible before you leave your room. Read it, read it, read it. There's a little girl, and I won't have time to do all I plan to do, just time-wise, but there's a little girl who I became very, very attached to, Jennifer Carpenter. She's a girl that had incurable disease, 31 years old, three small children. And I became buddies with her. You know, you can help people with your words. She called me a B12 shot. That's what she said. You're like my B12 shot. She says, no, you're like my fairy godmother. So, oh, that's nice. She said, you just kind of fly in and you lighten everything up like my fairy godmother. I said, oh, Jennifer. She said, you do. She was in intensive care just a few months ago, and I decided really serious. Well, I knew what room she was in at Community Hospital in Munster, Indiana, so I decided to be the fairy godmother. I got a big foo-foo flowing dress. I got wings. I didn't wear the wings into the hospital because I thought maybe they might call security, but I had the dress on with my coat, you know, my wings in my bag, and I went, and I had like a halo too. That's not a fairy godmother, but, and it was around Halloween time, and so I knew what room she was in. She was in the same room our son, and since I was here, I don't think my son was intensive care, intermediate. Our son had near respiratory failure last October. Our handicapped son, he was in the hospital for 10 days. So it was the same one room over. I knew where she was. I knew because I saw her the day before. I thought, I'm going to bring life to this lady. So I went, dun, da, 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 put my wings on, put my halo on, and out of the restroom, I came flying, you know. And I jumped in the room, and I said, your fairy godmother's here. And this man in the bed looked at me so strange. And he and his wife looked rather shocked, you know? And I said, he says, I didn't know they had a fairy godmother at community. I said, they do now. And I felt so stupid. I said, my friend Jennifer was here. He goes, oh, yes, I just got here late this morning. She's been moved to a regular room. I said, gotta go. Bye-bye. And as I walked out, there were like four nurses just looking at me. And they said, Mrs. Moffat. I said, yes, ma'am. Have a great day. And I took off with my wings on in the elevator and went down to her room. Jennifer has been a breath of sunshine. And this is what I learned. I want you just to hear this. This is what she wrote that I think is unbelievable. I hope I have the right thing. Here we go. She wrote this. I want you to hear her. She can't be here today. But I want to read what she wrote to me, textbooking me, a few hours before she went to heaven. She died at 31 years old and left three little children, 2 years old, 5 and 7, I believe. Today, remember to be grateful for the seemingly little things, words, the power of words. Be grateful for the seemingly little things God allows you to do. If you can dress yourself and your children, if you can grocery shop for your family, if you can take a walk, if you can shower unassisted, if you can go anywhere, if you can make your bed, bathe your children, clean the tub, drive, take your children for little rides, if you can get to the door by yourself, if you can prepare a meal, if you can leave a house that doesn't require packing a backpack of all kinds of supplies, because she was paralyzed. If you can take your children to and from school, thank God for these things. We as humans find it so easy to gripe about all we can't do when we instead should be looking at things we're able to do. I would love the chance to do any of the above aforementioned things, but God said, no. I won't pretend that it's easy when we focus on the things we get to do. That's a teaching she brought back that she said I taught her through Christ. Sometimes I find myself a bit frustrated by God's justice in my situation, but I know I would rather be paralyzed in a paralyzed condition and in God's will and whole body than in whole body and of no use to God. I know that every person has his own crosses to bear, but don't get hung up on the cross, but get hung up on the blessings God gave you, and I know we don't deserve. God has showered all of us with blessing, but not all of us stop to notice them. Have a great day trying to find ways to make someone else feel God's love through you. She was definitely my buddy. They asked me to speak at her funeral, and I shared that. And as I said goodbye to her, they called us to the hospital, and they found her in her room. She had a seizure and passed on. Her three children were in the other room, didn't even know it. Her husband went to check on her. You can imagine what they've gone through. And Jennifer was a blessing. I mean, a blessing. Her words. And before the family went in, they called us on Sunday night on our way home from church that she had passed away. My husband and I took off to the hospital at St. Anthony's Hospital in Crown Point. And before we could, no one would go in until we got there. They wanted my husband to be there and to walk in and see her so still. And then to think, nope, she's alive. And I want her teachings to go on. Words, the power of words. I put the power of words what she was. She was family 100%. She was happy. She was an encourager. She was giving. She was spunky. She loved life. She was a cheerleader. She was selfless, uplifting, unselfish, beautiful, eager, loved people, cheerful, caring, positive, others, fun, fighter, sweet, helpful, thoughtful, sharing, bright, enthusiastic, vivacious, smiling, loving, a woman used of God. It'd be nice if we could be like that, wouldn't it? Just take one word. Just take one word. Words are powerful, just powerful. Out of the same mouth proceedeth a blessing and a cursing, my brethren, this ought not so to be. There are many ways we can watch and change our words, and I won't even get into it. I think what I'll do, if you don't all mind, because I really want to give this. I really think it's going to help you. Help me. I'm talking to myself first. Do you mind if I include you? I'm talking to myself first. You know how you, when we talk, oh, ladies, we talk with facial expressions and body language. I didn't say a thing. Do you mind if I just continue this? Because I think it's pretty powerful. I have more than enough, which is my life story. I have like 7 lectures I brought, and I chose 2, and this is the number 1 that God impressed me, even last night, at 1 this morning. I could not go to sleep without just going over this again and thinking, oh, how we need this. Something happened to us just 4 weeks ago right now, 4 weeks ago Monday. I was at orientation at Howells Anderson College, where I've been teaching almost 39 years. I go to school, ladies, every day. I'm 67 years old. The doctors gave me to age 40 to live with the kidney disease I have. I messed up. I'm now 67. Both doctors have died in the last 3 years that diagnosed me with no health issues. They had massive heart attacks. Don't mess with me, is what I said, you know? But and both doctors, by the way, Dr. Steen and Dr. Reed, we both personally, my husband and I, led to Jesus Christ, and they're in heaven today. I know they're up there. Go, JoJo, go. Go, JoJo, go. Go, JoJo, go. I can't quit. How about you? And take the things we're saying, because when I do pass, I'd like to leave something, not be buried with me, or almost buried with me if I'm not dead, and I'm going to be dead when they shut the box. You know the story. But I want to share a story with you about life and the importance. I love my children. We have 6 children. My daughter turned 48 years old today. I sang a happy birthday to her by texting. I learned to text. I'm so excited. I usually send it to the wrong person, though. My daughter, I'm okay time-wise, okay. My daughter, this is so funny. My baby girl's 26. Our oldest is 46. Our youngest is 26. Is this a trip? I mean, is this a trip? 48 and 26. She'll be 27 shortly, Joy, in February. Well, Joy and I text back and forth, and I get cocky, but now that I'm knowing how to do it, it's kind of exciting. But you notice there's always a person's name above you. Our pastor is Pastor John Wilkerson and his wife, Linda Wilkerson. His name was right above there. He had texted him some information for my husband and I, the same message, and it was right above. And then it was Joy Moffat Zek. She's married now 4 years in February, our baby girl. And now that's a story I'll talk about. She just lost her 3rd baby. She cannot carry a baby. And hoping and praying that she'll get the right doctor to help her out. They thought they figured out low thyroid, brought it up to normal, and then she lost the baby again just a few weeks ago. But anyway, I just lost my train of thought just for a second. I went with Joy. Help me.
Texas.
Who?
Texas. You're texting the wrong person.
Oh, are you guys good? Everyone, get it. And I'm like, you're talking Southern. What did you say? Oh, thank you. Because you're all going, give it. I'm like, okay, don't be mad at me. I'll get it. You're cute. The lady in the orange. Right there, the lady, the pretty lady. Yes, you. You get one of my free books because I saw you first. You get a free book. You don't go to jail if you get a free book. Just take it and run, okay? And then you, right here, the girl in the pink, right here, the one that's turning back. You get one too because you were real good. Okay. The rest of you were very, I can't give them all away. I will die. But I want you to take a book, if you would. I brought my pink book. I didn't have it last year. And then the green book is the seller, I think, that people enjoy a lot. They're a lot of fun. The pink book is insane. It's my first book. Oh, I was wacko in that one. But I got worse wacko by the time I got to the green one. 4 weeks ago, I was in orientation at Howells Anderson College, and I went so much, is that something, I went with my kids. I left for a few minutes, went with my kids in my mind. And it was something else. I was sitting in orientation, and my husband, normally, we don't drive together because he works at the church. We've both been working for First Baptist Church and Howells Anderson College 41 years. 41 for myself, my husband 40. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Through everything, you know, ups and downs and turn it around. And we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we still are serving harder than ever. And so 4 weeks ago, I was in orientation, and my husband said, why don't you ride with me, since I had, it was all the ministries together. It was probably like 400 people all together, and we're all in orientation with our pastor. It was wonderful. The last session, my husband's called to the hospital. Dr. Henry Garagos, a heart surgeon, passed away. And my husband was like his boy. My husband was a part of his service when he passed, and he, you know, like the memorial they had and all. And my husband got a call. He had to go to the hospital. The family did not want him removed or anything until my husband got there to pray with them, to be there when they removed him. So my husband left. I'm at the college with no car. Joyous teaches second grade, our daughter does. Her husband, Elijah, is in charge of all the buildings at Baptist City. So we're all sitting together. And then Justin is our son. He's assistant principal of Hamden Baptist High School. And that's what I'm talking about, our son Justin and his wife Emily. She taught in our school system for years. She's very, very bright. She graduated valedictorian of Howells Anderson College. Sharp girl. But she wants to stay at home now to raise the two little children. Needless to say, when you're in Christian service, and this is not pity, we don't make high wages by any means, but I am as happy as I can be happy serving the Lord, and I know this is where I'm to be. I never was trying to make money, but I love serving the Lord, and I love giving it. It's been fun. Well, Justin's assistant principal of the high school, and it's quite a cut. You know what I'm saying? When they cut down to one wage, cut them in half. In February, 4 weeks ago, something happened, but in February, Justin was chaperoning a high school activity because he plans his stuff for the high school. And they were out snowboarding in Colorado for senior trip. Justin was showing the students how to snowboard, and when he did, he hit a patch of ice. He was thrown up. He hit smack in his head with a helmet on, and he had the most severe brain concussion. He was knocked totally unconscious, so they had to resuscitate him. They couldn't bring him even back. His eyes went up into his head, and you can imagine, this is our son that's very, very bright, and he's a very industrious and a hard-working kid. Has totally, I mean, this kid in the world would make money. He's beautiful in appearance. He's 6'2", he has blue eyes, and he had the blonde hair. It's now graying in the last couple of years with administration. But he's handsome boy, and his wife's beautiful, Emily. They have a 2-year-old son, Landon, who's precious. Landon Justin Moffitt, 2 years, he'll be 3 years old in November. And then just a few years ago, 4 months ago, they gave birth to their first little girl. Her name is Mia Carrie Jo. Grandma Carrie, Grandma Jo. When I say a beautiful baby with the deepest dimples you've ever seen in your entire life, just these deep dimples, this smiley face. On Facebook, I make Facebook a ministry. If anything conflicts with it, it'll be removed. Loretta and I both, I think, are the same thing. I have 5,000 friends. I thought I'd never have a friend on there. And now they tell me I can't have any more friends. Did you know that? You can't have any more friends. And people say, well, then just delete them. I'm not deleting people. So Justin is the one that Joy got me on, tricked me into getting on Facebook, is what they did. But we had a picture of her in her little bathrobe with her hair wrapped in a towel. She wasn't even 4 months old when it happened 4 weeks ago. This kid, my son, has had surgeries. He's had injections into the neck. He's in horrible pain. I mean, you can see it in his eyes. He throws up constantly. He's lost probably 20 pounds. He just keeps sick, staying sick since February. They've sent him to doctors, to surgeons. He just had an injection in the neck just a week ago. It didn't even work. Didn't even work. And this kid is just suffering, struggling. Oh, he is now depleted. All but $3. I just found it when I left yesterday of his funds. And it broke my heart because he's not said anything to me. Last week, we had a birthday party for Wilbur. Wilbur's an educable slow man. He's 59 years old. He's going to marry me when my husband dies. It's really nice when they're waiting for you. You know what I'm saying? Wilbur is precious. He has Down syndrome. We love him. He calls Justin son. He calls Joy daughter. I mean, it's a riot. This has been going on for 20 years. He's going to marry me. He went to preacher, Brother Hiles, and tried to borrow money for an engagement ring. And he said, who are you going to marry? He said, I'm going to marry Mrs. Moffitt when Brother Moffitt dies. Well, my husband didn't know what was going on. My husband's on the platform. Brother Hiles went up to the speaker and said, folks, you've heard everything now. I've heard everything now. Everyone knows Wilbur. He's just outgoing, just a wonderful young man. And he said, and Wilbur came up to borrow money for an engagement ring. And everyone was laughing. And I said, Wilbur, who are you going to marry? My husband's just sitting there attentively wondering who it is. He said, your wife, JoJo, when you die. And then later on he said to me, if it's between Wilbur and Roy, I'm for Wilbur, you know. So last week at the my bus, I'm a bus captain, been on the same route almost 41 years now as bus captain, and my route 32. And all of a sudden, seven big trays of Sara Lee cream cakes came. And I wanted to do it, but I didn't have the extra because I already put out that morning. And I have a large bus route. And I said, where'd these cakes come from? And they said, your son Justin just felt like you needed this today. And he doesn't have any money. And why he doesn't have money is 4 weeks ago, and this is just the end of what I'm saying, and I'll do a continuation. They were, while I was in orientation, my husband was at the hospital because of Dr. Garrigle's dying. I'm by myself now with no car, 22 minutes from my house. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call during the break, the last session. It said, Mom, please, we've had an accident. Somehow get a hold of Dad. We need help. I tried texting my husband. I ran back in the session to tell Joy if she could take me. In the meantime, my husband comes and he pokes me. He comes from the hospital and pokes me like this. Says, let's go. Brother Wilkerson's talking. Pastor Wilkerson. I'm thinking, what? And I was trying to get help. You know what I'm saying? Something acts. I didn't know someone fell. I didn't know what happened. What had happened is our little baby girl, three and three-quarter months old, Mia, was on the changing table about this high. Emily was right there. She always puts her head right here. But she had her arm like this, so she laid her down. Mia was there. The wall's here, and it's concrete floor. It's slab. She took her little feet and pushed, and just one, she's never done this before, went flying back, hit her head, cracked her skull all the way down, and the blood started, the bleeding on the brain. And it's hard for me to talk about it. I'll never forget getting to the hospital and trying to put a little IV in that baby's arm and screaming. But I held her up. I said, please let me hold her while you're doing this. I had her on my shoulder, and she'd look at me, and her eyes so big, and she'd calm down. And then they'd lay her back down, and she'd scream, and they'd bring her back up. And I'll never forget, they took Emily out because she was hysterical, literally hysterical. I caused this. I said, how many of us have had a baby roll off a bed or fallen down? And she couldn't catch her. There was no way she could catch her. But two splits right down the head. Within minutes, we had the helicopter from the University of Chicago Hospital, Tacoma's Children's Hospital, land and bring in this gurney and have to take this baby's head and secure this baby in this, I'll never forget as long as I live, and seeing her hysterical. And I just kept loving her and saying, you're going to be okay, sweet pea. You're okay. You're okay. As they wheeled her out, and we sat in the grass and watched this helicopter take off. I'll never forget it and not know if she'd be alive or dead as she was taken to intensive care to Chicago. No one could ride with her. It was all doctors and nurses. We went home and grabbed some food and took some food for Justin and Emily and ended up getting up to the ICU unit of Children's Hospital and Comer's Hospital. And we got there, of course, she's hooked up to everything imaginable. And I saw those kids without, that just killed me. She just got a bill for the helicopter, $40,000. Wow. And you know insurance doesn't pick all that up. And so I'm using my book money. Everything I sell, I'm putting into, I've got the little count. They don't know it's going to be me. And if any of you know my family, I don't want you telling this. I just want God to give them this money. So every book, if you have the book, if you'd buy it for someone else, these books sell on the internet, jojomoffitt.com, $16 plus the shipping. And I'm putting it all in account for them. And at least they can have money to go off of right now. They go see the surgeon this coming Monday, the neurosurgeon, to see if she's going to have brain surgery. So I wish you'd pray for this little one. But I can't explain. What do you do when you get to the hospital? Realize everybody up there is going through the same thing. And we won the nurse to Christ. We went to the doctors to Christ. We won the social worker that comes in to investigate. We won her to Christ. They come and investigate. We said, thank you. We said, thank you. Thank you for investigating. It was clean crack. They knew it was nothing done intentionally. But when I say of kids that have been a blessing, the power of words. The power of words. The power of words. These are words that will encourage you, I promise you. You'll laugh, you'll cry. If you have it, get it for someone else. But what I'm doing is all the money, the proceeds from my book sales, and I wish I could do a really a good job. If you could help me if I ever ask something to help my kids, it's just the power of words. Hey, get excited. Get excited. Let's do it one more time. I'm done. Ready? Get excited. Get excited. Get excited. Woo! Get excited. Woo! Get excited. Get excited. Get excited. Woo! Get excited. Woo! I'm glad. I'm excited to be with you.